some strange shit going on tonight, folks. But we got it all figured out. Now, what you're going to hear on the show tonight is a brand new live from Ted's of Beverly Hills, Noglip. We were going to do a encore, but we had coding problems on the website. Basically, what happens is, as it was explained to me by my web guys, what we got here? Let me see. I just tell Shane. You guys are working hard. What I was saying to you, I just got a text message here from Shane, who's our webmaster, that they've worked the problem. But essentially what happened was the software changes that we have sometimes implemented messes up the coding. It fucks up the code, creates inconsistencies, and that will sometimes cause a problem. So we had a little bit of that tonight. it's been a long night. It hasn't been a long night of work. I've been sitting here on my ass, staring at my phone, waiting for the guys to give me a message, which, you know, I believe that people should be left to do their work, right? And I don't think people should be hassled, you know, come on. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure that that there was some communications to what was going on. So, I don't know. Anyway, welcome to our pre-show here tonight. On this August evening, I found a sweater. I think I got this from my. This is actually from my father's wardrobe. I'm not shitting you. This is so fucking old. This is like 1950s. Somehow, some way, this sweater. I had to take a picture of myself in this thing so you guys can see this goddamn thing. This sweater looks like it's straight out of the 1950s. It is a double-breasted sweater. The buttons are double-breasted on it. Dig that. Huge lapels on it. Huge, big, what the hell do you call this, man? Big wool sweater is what it is. It's also got some suede and leather. It's kind of wool and suede and leather all knitted together. And it's cool, man. I dig it. It's, wait a minute, there's something in the pocket. When there's something in the pocket of anything, it could be something. Fuck me. Look at this, $3,000. I'm kidding. What is this? Deerskin. Deerskin quality leathers. Item extra large, sand colored. This is simply the tag that came with the thing that I'm wearing. It was still in there. The more you know about genuine leather, the better. Well, I'm not really down with fucking leather or deerskin. I shouldn't even be wearing this shit. That's just the way I am. Tough shit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, so that's what was happening. What we did is we literally ad-libbed a show tonight with Ted and the crew on the rooftop at Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's still complaining that the view, he's looking at a dumpster, he's looking at people's spoiled food, he's looking at a bum asleep in a car. He's trying to remain positive, but he feels like everybody's laughing at him because he wants to roll out Ted Nog, and we're all making crude jokes. Margaret and Bud sing two really shitty songs in honor of Ted Nog, or Nog. And, of course, Noglip is brought up, which further degenerates the proceedings. The crowd is enjoying us, but Ted's not getting that big of a round of applause. And then he finally says that the evening has been like him just sitting there, looking up and seeing all of us remove our pants as we do number two on him. And that is kind of as close. I think that's the end, but then I think one more song from Bud, and, you know, and it's Ted once again stiffing a promotion. How he stays in business is anybody's guess. So we had an incident in Beverly Hills this past week. Jamie Foxx was celebrating a birthday. He was at a place called Mr. Chow's. It was on the same street as Ted's of Beverly Hills. I think Ted at one point referred to a restaurant called Hong Kong Charlie's that was on the street. I think they closed up, but this Mr. Chow's is a whole other thing. But Ted did say, I think in a post, that Jamie Foxx next time should be. What happened was somebody threw a glass and it hit Mr. Foxx in the face. Pretty fucked up, you know. He needed stitches. He was okay, but Jesus, you imagine that. So Ted says, hey, next time you want to have a birthday celebration, have it at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Okay, cool. And I agree, Mr. Foxx, sir. All right. That's our pre-show, man. Bringing you up to date, up to the minute. I used to listen to KFWB as a kid. I listened to all the radio when I was a kid. And our local station here, a rock station, was KFWB. They went on to become an all-news station. But in the late 50s, when I was 5, 6 years old, and my brother would be in the bedroom listening as well. He was 14. Dara was 9 years older than me. And he listened to KFWB. And I remember hearing the announcement of Buddy Holly's death. I remember vividly hearing the very down tone of the disc jockey talking about Buddy Holly dying. And I remember listening to all of the songs, you know, that were popular when I was a small boy, Elvis Presley stuff, you know, the Diamonds, fucking the Del Vikings at the El Monte Legion Stadium. That's where they had all the rock concerts in those days, El Monte Legion Stadium. I still remember the commercials, El Monte Legion Stadium with the Del Viking, you know. But KFWB used to say, make the mark of the Merc, meaning what the temperature is. It's 15 minutes after 11 o'clock. Make the mark of the Merc. Make the mark of the Mercury. It's 78 degrees in Hollywood or wherever the fuck they were. KFWB was right on Yucca. They were on, wait a minute. Were they on Hollywood Boulevard or were they on Yucca? And either way, they were in Hollywood. I think they were right on Hollywood Boulevard. I remember walking by as a kid with my folks, either my dad or my mom or somebody. It must have been my dad, and looking and being just absolutely fucking fascinated. If I could see the pictures of the disc jockeys. Wink Martindale was one of them, and they had Don McKinnon was another guy who tragically lost his life in a car accident in Malibu on one of the canyon roads. They had Al Jarvis. I don't know. I don't know half these cats. Elliot Fields, was that a disc jockey or was it a news guy? I forget. They had a news guy named Beach Rogers. So all these dudes, and they played the station on a speaker on the street, so you could hear the station as you walk by. So it was cool, you know. It was just, that's all I wanted to do, man. I wanted to be a disc jockey. That was the coolest fucking job you could have. I couldn't think of a cooler job. But if somebody had said to me then, why don't you be an actor? I would have thought, what the fuck, why would I want to do that? What? Those are guys that are having to stand in front of a camera and say words that another guy wrote and try to make it look interesting. I don't want to do that. I want to say the shit I want to say, you know? My brother went into acting, but for me, it was the radio. So KFWB, make the mark of the Merc. Then there was the Time and Temperature Tower. Was that KRLA, Time and Temperature Tower? Or the Time and Temperature Tower, I think, might have been KFWB. KFWB had all kinds of shit that they did. Then KHJ came along in 65 with Boss Radio and more music, and that revolutionized Top 40 radio. It pretty much streamlined personality radio right the fuck out of radio. It was more music meant shut up and play the records. That's what it was. And that's what I inherited when I got into the business in the early 70s. I had a program director, more than one, standing over me and saying, shut up and play the records. Shut up. That's Tom Dawka, you know. Hey, they won't do what I tell them to do. They won't play the music like I say. See? That's why I got into talk radio, because I suddenly realized, aha, here's a format where I'm the star, not the fucking music. I am. So in other words, they have to kiss my fucking ass to make sure that I, you know, do a great, because in other words, this is the star of the show is me. I am the creator of the content that the people want to hear. There's no mistaking what this is about. This is about, I want to listen to Phil Henry. It's not about, I want to listen to the Rolling Stones that Phil Henry's going to play. And I know they kind of, you know, I what I loved about that was it hung up a lot of programmers. They didn't like the fucking talent having that kind of leeway. But that's what we did. So anyway, but I'll tell you, this is a lesson for all of you guys. A lesson, anybody, I'm not really trying to tell you a lesson. Let me just say this, okay? There was a point in my life in the 1980s, I was in my 30s, and I was so lost creatively, and I was so scared creatively, because I had all of these really weird instincts. I did not know what to do with them, and I didn't think that there was any fucking way I could really be successful with the strange fucking thoughts that I had, you know. And if you would have told me back then, you're going to be in the Radio Hall of Fame someday. I probably would have said the following thing. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to get there. I don't know. You know, I want to believe you, but I'm the furthest motherfucking thing from the Radio Hall of Fame that there is right now. That's what I swear to Christ I would have told you. So, you don't know, man. You just got to keep pushing. Keep on fucking pushing and keep pushing and grow a pair. You know, that's always important. And you will not fail, man. You will not be let down. You will not let yourself down. If you just have the guts and keep on pushing, you know, you will not fail. All right. So that's the story. Morning Glory. I'm out. I love you. Next up, The Phil Henry Show.